Welcome to Sister Share, where six sisters living around the world come together each week to talk about motherhood, health, cooking, parenting, and so much more. Thanks for joining us today.
I'm Lorraine.
I'm Nettie.
My name is Mamie.
I'm Becca.
Hi, I'm Heidi.
I'm Katie.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Sister Share. We are six sisters who live around the globe, and we have 52 plus children between us, and so we are mothering at all ages and stages of life. We love to visit and chat about anything related to motherhood or parenting or anything else on our minds. This week's discussion is about reading books as a family, and I'm so excited for the topic this week.
So I think I have always really recognized that this is an important topic and that it makes such a difference as a mom. So we have read stories since our kids were little, but now as a teacher, I notice so black and white that I recognize kids in my class who have read as families, who do read as families, and who have missed out on this opportunity. There's a lot of research out there that shows that this is so important for socializing, for reading skills, for family relationships. And so I've always known that. As a teacher, I have seen that work.
Lorraine, just tell us, what do you teach?
I teach third grade. So I see kids as they're transitioning from the learning to read stage to really reading to learn and loving to read. And it's such a great age to teach. My own kids, though, now are getting into teenage years. Our youngest is 9. And while we love sitting down with her in the evening time, we have struggled now to have the rest of our kids participate. They will be in the room, but they'll be on homework or reading their own books, and or they'll be at work or off to activities. And sometimes we postpone a book because we want everybody to hear it, but then we've gotten a little out of practice. So I am looking for ideas. Is it more important to just read every night, or is it more important to have everybody be with us reading? We really struggle because we want to share the books that we're reading.
Lorraine, I was just thinking about that this morning, and I really believe it's just the consistency, because we're in the same state. And finally, I realized that I was waiting and waiting and waiting, and we weren't being consistent. So I just decided I'm going to sit down and read. In our family, it's down to join Lucy and Heber. We have everybody else that's in youth activities, band practice, sports practice, whatever. So we just sit down, the three of us, and the others can catch up on their own time. But the other thought is that a lot of the books I want to read to the littles, I read to the olders, but the littles weren't there. So I am rereading books that the olders already know about, so they can come in at any time and enjoy. And even when they're sitting there doing their homework, I think it's fun for them to listen to and participate as a family in the reading book. That's my thought.
I think you're right, Mamie. We've learned we have to go back and reread books we read before to make sure our kids get them with the younger generation. What are some of the books everybody loves reading?
I love Becca's list. Becca, I'll let you jump in because we have some new ones too.
Well, the ones I put on the list, I thought, oh, everybody knows all these, you know, loves all these in our family, you know. But some of the, I always have loved The Little House. Mama would always read Little House to us. And maybe a thought about the teenagers, at least something that we're trying, is that I'll read to our elementary kids in the evenings, usually, like, you know, like you're all sharing. And, you know, when our high schoolers have their activities or their homework or, you know, things they're off doing. But we started a couple years ago trying to read on Sunday night, just with our four older girls. The girls really wanted to read Anne of Green Gables, and I had never read it. I did read Anne of Green Gables, the first book, when I was in junior high, I think, but I really hadn't enjoyed it a lot. And so I hadn't read the rest of them. And just reading them with our girls is just gold. And it's not, you know, we don't make it every Sunday night. Certainly in the summertime, it's harder. But in the wintertime, we feel like we, you know, just on Sunday evenings when we put the younger kids to bed, then that's usually, you know, the youth don't have a lot going usually that night. And so we just sit down every week. It's not a nightly thing then, but it's been really fun. So anyway, but I remember Mama reading to us, I think it was on Sunday night, of Little House during the winter. And anyway, so yes, we love Little House. We love Anne of Green Gables. One of my favorites is Mrs. Pigglewiggle. I just love her. I don't know, especially for my elementary kids. I just love how she shows these, you know, these kids that have these little habits that, you know, that the parents are trying to help them work through. And it's just fun, fun solutions that she comes up with. And it opens our kids' eyes, I think, you know, to kind of, oh, what are some of the better ways to live?
The or kids the better love ways it. To do things.
Yeah, it's so fun. It's so fun. It's just a sweet little humorous way to bring solutions to life. I really like that. So,
who wrote Mrs. Pigglewiggle? I can't remember.
Oh, goodness.
McDonald.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Betty McDonald. Betty McDonald. That's an old one. And kids are, you're right, Becca. They think it's so funny. Like, they see it from this side. But really, they're learning what they should probably be doing right or different.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things I think is important when we're choosing a book to read to our family is to remember that children can listen to a book read out loud to them above their grade level. If we dumb it down too much, then we're not giving them as good of an advantage as we could. Like the Anne of Green Gables, you read it when you were a teenager, Becca, and it wasn't really that thrilling. But when you read it aloud as a family and you're experiencing it all together, kids can learn vocabulary that they're not familiar with. They can learn to appreciate the classics. So we like to read aloud the classics in our family. Another one that we love that I just recently listened to that I didn't read growing up was Little Women. And it's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful story. And what I noticed is that every single chapter, she brings out a character attribute or just a moral value that she teaches through story. We can just teach our kids so many wonderful, powerful things through reading aloud to them. It's such a neat thing. The other thing, though, that I'll say that goes the other direction is that just recently we read a book that Heber had read in his third grade class. It was a read aloud in his third grade that I wasn't familiar with, but he really wanted to read it as a family. Frindle, I can't remember who wrote it, but I was a little bit leery about reading it because I wasn't familiar with it, but it was so fun. The kids loved it. And it was a good book to read aloud as a family. So it's fun to just choose. Sometimes let the kids choose. Sometimes the mom chooses. But it's always a wonderful experience, no matter what you're reading.
One of the things I see also as a teacher, I also teach third grade, is when kids, like you said, Mamie, are listening to a book above their grade level, it really builds their vocabulary. And also some of just their foundational knowledge. I think a lot of our education these days is really focused on maybe skills or strategies, and we forget that kids need just some basic knowledge about life in general. And if it's characters or characteristics, great, or values or attributes, great. But even if you're reading books from a different era or a different century, they just get such a greater understanding of life. And like I said at the beginning, the vocabulary is so valuable. So reading out loud, just we can't say enough about the importance of it, even in the home.
I have to jump in there too. And I agree. I had one of my favorite books is Snow Treasure. And we've read it as a family. And I introduced it to my third graders 1 year. And I thought, this is going to be a little over their heads because they don't know this history. It's World War II. The Norway children are saving Norway's gold by sledding down the hill and hiding it. And my kids absolutely loved it at school. And it gave me an opportunity to introduce them to World War II and Hitler. And we ended up, after that, we decided to read Number of the Stars and Sadako and the Paper Cranes about the Japanese aspect. And and the bombs, and it just led into such great class discussions. And we've had those discussions as families too. This whole world opened up to them. And also, as we stopped every few chapters to talk about the story and what was going on and pull out maps, their comprehension levels just went way up. And it's books just open worlds, and I love it. I also love, one of our favorites is the BFG, because of words. He makes up so many words, and it's so fun to try to pronounce these words that he makes up. Such a fun read aloud, and to stop and talk about what's going on is an important aspect of reading aloud, to discuss what we're learning as a family.
BFG by Roald Dahl, Snow Treasure by...
Oh dear, I don't remember.
Somebody jump in.
Marie, somebody. We just finished it.
Quick, look it up.
I want to jump in here too and just share something that was profound for me as a mother to learn. When my oldest started kindergarten years ago, we embarked on the 20 minutes a night theory that all teachers have, where they want you to sign and say your child read for 20 minutes a night. And especially with our oldest, it was a willpower struggle. Sometimes she didn't want to read. It became a battle of the wills, and it was not very fun. And it was when she was in second grade, she had a teacher, Dr. Jordan, that was amazing. She was so good with the kids. And she talked to the parents at parent-teacher open house at the beginning of the year, back to school night. And she said, research shows that children that are read to are the ones that will grow up learning to read well and loving to read. She said, it does not show that having children forced to read every day will improve their reading. And so she didn't have us do that. And ever since then, that turned over a new leaf for me. If my kids are reading, if I'm reading aloud to my kids, I will sign that 20 minutes a night, because I know they're being read aloud to, and it's not, there's no power struggle anymore, and the kids love to come and listen. And all of my kids have turned into good readers. So I would just say to moms that are worried about that, don't worry about it. Just let your kids listen to you read to them, and their reading will come, and they will love it.
Love that, Mamie. Katie, what are some of the books you all read?
Well, really quick, I just want to clarify. Becca, when you say The Little House, you mean Little House on the Prairie?
I'm sorry, yes. The Little House on the Prairie books by Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Okay, because there is that other really cute book that we grew up with called The Little House, about the little house that, you know, is in the country. And
I love that one, too.
And we love that one.
By Virginia somebody. Maybe.
Sorry, what?
I think that's by Virginia somebody. I'll look it up.
Oh, I think it's Virginia Burton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So probably one of the, a couple things. We like to listen to books in the car, which I think is our best time as a family. We are approaching on the issue that you have, where our olders are doing homework and our house is small enough, it's hard to really actually work it out where we can have a story going and homework going and computer work and music practice all going at the same time. But we find that we can do that in the car. And some this Christmas, for the first time, we listened together to A Christmas Carol by the Merry Beggars. It was really well done. And we just listen to a little bit every day. Some days we missed, we would listen to it on our way to choir concerts or, you know, to Christmas parties or wherever we were going, because you're so busy during the Christmas time. And it was a great time for discussion. We had to turn it off a few times and our kids know the story, but we had to turn off a few times just to explain some things. And anyway, that's been fun for us. Also, the Chronicles of Narnia. We love reading those, and we have a requirement for our kids that before they can watch it, they can read it. I might add that they've watched it at some of your houses before they've read it. But
sorry about that.
I'm looking at the Bowdens. But get it right. But we also listen to it in the car. There's a really good rendition from oh, who is it by?
It's by Focus on the Family.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Really, really well done. And aside from the fact that we don't love Aslan's voice, it's a great, great listen to, and we'll listen to that a lot in the car, and brings up really good discussions. But some of the other books that we love that have not been mentioned is there's a group of books by Janet and Jeff. I don't know if it's Benj or Ben. I don't know. It's through Christian Book, which they, you know, they sell some curriculum. But they also sell a lot of things Christian. And it's not a series, but it's a group of books. And it's called Christian Heroes Then and Now. And they just have all these little books. They're probably third grade level about Christian heroes and what they did. And they are well written. And we love to read them. They, you know, they have one about Eric Little, one about C.S. Lewis, George Mueller, Gladys Allward, Mary Slessor. A lot of them are about Charles Moli, which is someone we all know and love. A lot of them are just about these Christian missionaries in different places who gave up everything and went to random places in the world to spread the gospel. One is about Lillian. Oh, I can't remember her last name. Who went to Egypt, really with nothing, just had a desire and knew it was her calling and started an orphanage there. And the orphanage was trying to go in the middle of war. There was no food. She wanted to give up, and just miracles that happened to keep these things going. And it's so empowering when you see what the Lord is willing to do in other people's, lives. That to think he'll do that in my life with my family if I have that kind of faith, if I just move forward. So those have been really fun ones for us. They also have a series about, I don't remember what their other set of books, the title, it's not Christian Heroes Then and Now, it's something about, I don't know, just history heroes. But they have a group of books on history heroes, John Adams, George Washington, Martha Washington, you know, just all the way through Abraham Lincoln. All these different history hero, maybe it's called Heroes of History, that we've enjoyed too.
Katie, you're gonna have to message me that exactly so I can include it. Heroes of History.
I love, Katie, that you brought up that the messages of the books are important, because I was just thinking that too. That as we start new books or as we try new books that we don't know, sometimes we have to look at what is this teaching us. I know that there have been sometimes when my kids have brought home a book and they say, oh, this is really fun, or I look at it or we start reading it and we realize the people in there aren't very nice to each other, or the siblings aren't very kind. And so it may be a good book, or I mean, it may think it has a good message, or it may be one that is very popular. My personally, and maybe I shouldn't say a name, but I feel like the Judy Blume books, which are very popular, have a ring that I don't love. The people aren't kind. And when we bring in books, we want to bring in books that will enhance and uplift our home, excuse me, our home and our family discussions. So I love that you bring up these classic heroes. When we got married, my husband introduced me to the Great Brain series, which are somewhat autobiographical, about a kid who comes to Utah. But they're hilariously funny, and the escapades that he gets into. And he and his family are Catholic in the middle of this little tiny Utah town that's all Mormon. And they're so funny, and we love reading those. We also love the Cheaper by the Dozen books. Those are really fun, and they're funny but also inspiring about families. We've also branched out. I have to list a couple more really quick that are to some books that I've been introduced to recently. One is called The White Indian Boy. It's actually an older book published by Utah State over 100 years ago, I believe, about a Utah Mormon immigrant who runs away and joins the Shoshone tribe for a couple of years. And that's autobiographical and very fascinating. Huge history, and a lot of great discussion. And then just recently we read The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind. And that has been interesting. That is recent history in the last
oh, 10 or 15 years about a boy in Africa. His family is starving, and he realizes he can't go to school because his family can't afford it, but they have this little library, and he reads books, and he realizes that he can harness electricity for his family by building a windmill. So he spends a couple of years going to a junkyard and makes a windmill, and his whole community is laughing at him until he does it. And it's so, so inspiring. And this is recent. This is real life. This is in my kid's lifetime, and it's just a good book. I highly recommend it. So there are books out there that we introduce that are also so inspiring, along with so many classics. Love the ones you brought up.
Okay, I'm going to give a couple of lists here from our family, A Little Princess and anything by Frances Hodgson Burnett, Little Lord Fauntleroy, The Secret Garden. We love those. Those have been some fun family classics to listen to. I remember times when we sat around the dinner table finishing a chapter, listening to it because it was so great. All of a Kind Family series by Sydney Taylor. I loved those growing up. And my daughters read all of them. And most recently, I read a book about Sydney Taylor and how she became a writer and an author. Very interesting. Mary Poppins by P.L. Travers. There's a whole series of Mary Poppins books. Those have been fun to read. And The Wizard of Oz series by Frank L. Baum. And finally, last but not least, anything by Carol Ryrie Brink. She wrote Caddy Woodlawn. She also has one I love about Baby Island. There's a sequel to Caddy Woodlawn, Magical Melons. So again, these are fun, older series, good classic books. And I personally don't think my kids can get too much of learning about kids who had less and were happy with what they had.
Nan, another one I would mention is The Five Little Peppers and How They Grew. We have loved that one, and there's a whole series there too, but some of them are harder to get your hands on. The first one, though, when I first started reading it to our kids, I was worried they wouldn't engage because it's very, very old English language, and sometimes it's hard to understand, but my kids absolutely ate it up. It's such a fun, fun book, and they have absolutely nothing. It's how these five little siblings get along and help their mom out, who's a single mom. It's really beautiful. I also wanted to interject here that I wanted to say that what Larae said was so powerful, that when we read as a family, we want to introduce good, good literature. My kids will go to the school library on their library day or to the public library and come home with books that are just not worth anything. It's almost like it's a junk food type of a book versus the good literature that is so wholesome and uplifting. And so one thing that I learned from a teacher when one of my kids was in elementary school is how to help your children choose good books when they go to the library. I don't know if this fits in here, but I just wanted to bring it up. It's called the Goldilocks Principle. So when they're choosing a book, you want them to choose a book that is just right for them, not one that's too hot or too cold or too hard or too soft. And what you teach them to do is choose a book, like Larae said, that has children and people involved that are being kind and respectful, but also choose one where the main character is your same age. And that helps kids not get into novels and romance too early. So if they're a 9-year-old, they want to find someone where a book where the main character is 9 or 10 or 11, right in their age range. You also want them to choose a book where there is language that they'll be learning from, but also a lot of language they already know. So 1 to 2 words a page that they don't know or need help with is good. But if it's more than that, they probably want to wait a couple of years. So those are some things that have helped me as a mom help my kids know what books to choose. And we're not perfect. I still struggle to know how to help them choose really good literature. But I know as a mom, I can always read aloud good literature to them.
That's great, Mamie. I love that, the Goldilocks principle. I've heard it called a couple of different things, but I like that. Find a book that's just right, not too cold, not too hot. I want to bring up graphic novels for a minute because as a teacher, I always have students who go right to the graphic novel section of the library and check out a graphic novel. And I think for me, a graphic novel might be a stepping stone. So this is a novel where the words are not necessarily written in full sentences or paragraphs. It's more like a comic book. And they're very popular with beginning readers because they're easy. And they're very popular with older readers too, because you can kind of just glance at the page, go through the speech bubbles, you know, and figure out what the people are saying and the gist of the story. But like I say, it's a nice stepping stone to get you to read. But for me as a teacher, I have my students take their books home that they check out of the library, because in my classroom, I want them to get to a point where they're reading an actual book with correct English, full sentences, real paragraphs. And so I would just say, yes, graphic novels are a great way to get kids to read, maybe who aren't reading, but then help your children to just get past that so that they can really get a book that stretches their brain and has not just solid principles for life, but solid English principles involved, solid English language.
It's also important to remember that they can go backwards, and that's not a bad thing. I love to read children's books and picture books still, and I learn so much from them. And often, especially in the nonfiction section, you can read a children's book about something so much easier and clearer and succinct to learn what you need to learn from a children's book. So I don't mind when my older kids will still bring home good picture books because they're so awesome.
Right. And the pictures are inspiring and beautiful.
Yes.
Lorraine, do you have any thoughts on graphic novels?
Sorry, what was that in?
Any thoughts on graphic novels from you as a teacher?
Mostly that I agree with you. I think it's a nice stepping stone if that's where kids are comfortable. Sometimes it's a good fit book for them, but I also steer them towards the real book. There are a lot of graphic novels are other books that have been put into this picture book form. And I also love picture books. But we often talk about it. I have a Caldecott collection in my classroom and a Newbery collection, and we often talk about why the picture books got an award. It's because of the beautiful pictures and how inspiring they are. They are not cartoons. And so I agree with you that graphic novels maybe are a stepping stone and not our end goal. I also love that we've brought up the words are what is important. The language, the vocabulary. We want our kids to love words and to be able to write. The point of reading is that we are writing. We are going to share some of us also with the world. I also love poetry. I was thinking, I love reading books like we've read some Shel Silverstein, which are funny poems, Jack Prelutsky. There's a lot of kids poets out there that are really good, but also some good old-fashioned poetry. Ezra Jack Keats or William Wordsworth have some beautiful poems. Who's Frost? I can't remember his name.
Robert
Frost, thank you. These poems introduce children to this world of imagination. Part of reading is building the picture in our heads, and poetry just ups that vision with different types of words. I also really love the books by William Bennett. He was a former Secretary of State of Education, and he put together some books for kids, the Book of Virtues, which is a blend of great poetry and short stories that teach moral values and have some really and come from really classic literature. I love the words that are in some of those books because kids can build vocabulary and imagine the picture in their heads, which I feel like is where graphic novels are the stepping stone to. Yeah. We want them to listen and imagine.
Yeah. Learning to visualize. That's great. I just want to interject another thing as a teacher here. With so many screens in the world today, one skill that we try to focus on in our classroom is being able to focus for 15 minutes and read in your spot quietly. And if it's a couple of books, great. You know, you have a pile of books there, but are you able to look at a book, turn the pages, focus, read, and stay focused for at least a good 15 minutes? This is a skill that's sadly waning in students because they're used to everything quick and fast and those screens that are so interactive. And so I think in our homes, again, reading as a family, letting them listen and learn, and also remembering that they could actually focus for that long if they needed to and read.
Jen, I love that. And one of the things we do in our home, because screen time is so alluring to kids, even the ones that they come home from school, they're supposed to be on Lexia or IXL. I will tell my children, you can do your homework on the screen, but before you do, make sure you've done 30 minutes of reading, just so that they get into the habit of having that time with the book. It's so powerful.
I was just thinking, sometimes it's amazing to me, you know, when we're you know, in the evening when I'm, you know, we're reading a chapter book with my older elementary kids, to see some of my younger kids come and just sit on the couch with us and want to, you know, and it's not a picture book. There's no pictures, you know, but they want to sit there. And it made me think of, well, we just watched the best Christmas pageant ever. And the Herdmans, the first time that they come to this Christmas pageant practice, they're so taken with the story. With the story of baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph and what happened to them. And you know, nobody can believe, nobody, you know, the Herdmans haven't even heard the story. They don't know the story. But, and there are kids that are rambunctious and, you know, all over the place causing trouble. And yet this story captures them. And I don't know. I don't know if that's an answer to anything, but I think it's neat that kids, I really think kids want to settle down. They want something real. They want something that's, you know, that speaks to their soul and that they can sit and think about and be still. And even if it's not this picture book, you know, this, you know, all this stuff on the screen, it speaks to them. I think if we give them that opportunity, it speaks to them.
I love that, Becca.
Another thing I love is that when we were growing up, I remember we often had popcorn, and so we can nourish their tummies as well as their souls while we're reading. That's a fun thing to gather around as a family and have popcorn. The other thing that I wanted to mention is a quote, and this is paraphrased because I just heard it paraphrased, but Albert Einstein said, if you want your kids to be smart, read them fairy tales. I think we could get into the trap of thinking, oh, I need to read them books that are historical or books that are nonfiction, and that's not necessarily true. I just find comfort in that because I'm reading books that are fairy tales to my kids. Their imaginations are expanding, as others of you have said, and it's so good for them to hear stories that are fairy tales.
And winter is such a great time for family reading because it's darker and colder and it's nice to be cozy. So I love the popcorn idea, Mamie. And also, one thing I brought from our childhood that I love doing with my kids in the summertime is the reading caterpillars. And we just start the summer. Everyone has a caterpillar head. It's just a round piece of construction paper with some eyes on it. And every time you read a book, you add a circle to your caterpillar. And our summer caterpillars grow on the bulletin board or the kitchen wall or around the room or wherever we post them. And as soon as you have 10 circles on your reading caterpillar, then you get to go to the bookstore and buy a book that you want. Mama started that with us in the summers when we were little, and I think that's such a great incentive. I remember reading and reading and reading one more book so I could go pick out a book at the store that I wanted. So just a fun practice to help with the principle of reading.
Then that's so fun. And it reminds me too what Ray said about poetry. We've had a poetry dinner. This is another fun idea where each of our kids chose a poem to memorize. And then we had a nice family dinner. I don't even remember what we fixed or served, but everybody shared their poem during the dinner as an allowed memorized poem. And that's a fun thing you can do too. Just to make reading and poetry and all these things fun, I think is the goal. You don't want it to be drudgery. You want it to be something kids look forward to.
Like those ideas. And Becca, you reminded me that
sometimes if you're starting out, it might be hard to have kids sit and just listen to a book if they're not used to sitting still. I get a whole classroom of third graders every fall that has this problem. They've never been read to. So we just, I leave the lights low after lunch and they come in and they are working on their cursive handwriting book or drawing. You could draw a picture at your house, something so their little hands can stay busy. And then they learn to listen. And it's a good way to get them to sit still enough to get engaged in the story.
Love that, Ray.
Yeah, what a good idea. I was also thinking, sometimes I've asked our older girls, how did you learn to love good books, you know, or to love, you know, to love the good, these good things? And they said, oh, well, because you love them, Mama. And it's made me think that's why we learned to love it, is because our mom loved it. And I think so much, I don't know. I really don't read a lot of adult literature, frankly, the adult fiction or whatever, because I don't have time and I don't spend my time that way. But I read mostly to my kids and the things I loved as a child and informational things too. But I think it's so interesting and it's so important to what we love as moms. As moms, if we're, you know, the kids are going to see what we love and what we want to read, and we don't have to push them toward, oh, you should love all these books. They're going to naturally gravitate if it's something we love and we cherish and we find the value in. I think there was a time I brought a book home and I said, oh, Mama, what do you think of this? And I, you know, she wasn't impressed with it. She was like, oh, I don't think I would read that, or, you know, and I think it wasn't like she forbid me to read it. But she was like, oh, I don't think I would read that. And so I don't know. I just think it's so powerful. The things that we love, that's what our kids are going to love and want to choose.
If you see your mom with a book in her hand sitting down when she has a minute to read, it's going to inspire you to sit down and read if you have a minute here or there. So I have a lot of parents, when they come in for parent-teacher conferences, saying, what can my child read? What do you suggest? And over the years, I've used different book lists that I think are great, but I most recently in our library found this book called 100 Books to Read Before You Grow Up. And I really like it. I checked the book out because the title caught my eye, and I went through, and it's a newer book, and it starts in books you should read when you're 4, when you're 5, up through until you're moving into junior high. And it has old books and new books, and chapter books and picture books, just a really good, well-rounded list of 100 books you should read before you grow up. And I like it. So I've been recommending that to my parents now.
Ned, I love that. I'm going to go look it up.
Yeah. Somebody look it up right now and tell me who the author is. I don't have it right here in front of me. And I'm using my phone to record this.
I can look it up.
While Mame's looking it up, two more books that we like are Pollyanna, and then by the same author as Pollyanna, which I can't remember who that is, it's Just David. We have loved those books. More particularly, we've known Pollyanna our whole lives, you know, like that's a more common story. But Just David was introduced to us a few years ago, and just a sweet little book that we've really loved.
I've never heard of that. We'll have to look that one up.
Also, I'll second it, Kate. We absolutely love Just David, too. And was it Eleanor Porter?
Yes, Eleanor Porter.
Eleanor Porter, all her books are just beautiful, sweet, beautiful language and stories.
Don't forget the 21 balloons.
And then it says it's by Bianca Schultz.
Yes, that's it. Bianca Schultz. Tell me the full title, Mamie.
100 books to read before you grow up, just like you said.
100 books to read before you grow up by Bianca Schultz. Thank you.
Yeah. Another series that or author that we love for older kids is Alma J. Yates. And he's older, but he has some really good classics. The one that we love the best is The Miracle of Miss Willie, but all of them are very good books for teenagers to read.
And make teenagers cry, which is always a good thing.
It is always a good thing. And one thing that we talk to our teenagers about that is also a good principle is to that when they're vetting the books that they're reading, to notice what it would be rated if they were to watch it. Is this a G book? Because it really does translate. If there's PG or if there's maybe PG-13 or R, that's the time when you stop reading. So just things to notice when they're getting into their book, the language, what's happening in their love life or anything. If it's the principles that we grew up with, then that's good. If it's a little bit iffy, then maybe choose a different book.
People are always looking for good series for boys to read too. And I know one of the ones our boys enjoyed as they got into their teenagers was the Redwall series. Very descriptive stories of animals, but a lot of good adventure for boys. Also,
Oversea Under Stone is another awesome series that I love.
Yes, Oversea Under Stone.
I love that. Who wrote that?
Susan Cooper.
That's a good one.
We also like Hatchet. That's another good boys one. Oh, and Other Side of the Mountain, or My Side of the Mountain, I think is what it's called. That's a good one.
Gary Paulson, anything by Gary Paulson, boys love those. My Side of the Mountain, The Cave.
Another newer author is Brandon Mole. Yeah. I don't read Brandon Mole, but my husband does, and my boys all love it. So he does Fable Haven, and I think the next series that tags onto that is Dragon Watch. That's more modern, but the boys love it, and it's really good.
Candy Fairy Shop Tales Wars. Yep. I think they're making Fable Haven into a movie, we've heard. We're excited for that one.
One thing that I like, Fable Haven is very fantasy, and I like trying to help my kids have a spread of genres. So, you know, if you're going to read a fantasy, that's great. Then read something historical fiction, or then read something realistic or a biography or something, so that they get a spread of genres that open their eyes.
I love that, Ray. And another thing that I'll do is have my children read a book that I choose in between books that they choose. So they'll read a book that they like, and then I'll say, okay, this is a group of books you can choose from, but these are ones that I like, and that's helpful too.
I'm actually taking a library class right now, and there's a lot of research about people actually enjoy nonfiction more than fiction books generally, but we kind of forget that. And so, yes, reminding children to read biographies, nonfiction, informational books, so interesting and so much to learn. We need to not just write that section of the library off, because it's very enjoyable and very engaging.
One series our kids have enjoyed, and I haven't read through it, is Prelude to Glory. That's a Ron Carter, I think. They learned more about the American Revolution and American history than I'm sure any class that they've taken so far. And several of our older kids have just eaten those up. Just really good, really good.
That sounds great, Becca. We're going to have to look those up too.
I would second that. I homeschool fifth grade, and that's one of the requirements for my kids is to read Prelude to Glory. We invested in the series, and I read them and learned so much. And I'm the teacher, you know, learned so much about it all, and so much more respect for, I feel like I already had a large amount of respect for what our founding fathers have gone through, but so much more. It's made me really think through what George Washington had to do, and
and his integrity. I remember at one point in the book, it talked about how the he had pressure from his captains to go to Congress and say, you have no idea what we're going through. You cannot make us, you know, you cannot tell us to do this. And he said, no, the military doesn't have the power. The military takes the power from the governing body, and Congress is the governing body. And just that one act, I feel like, saved our country, right? The minute the military says we have the power, then we don't have a country anymore. And anyway, I just, as I remember, as I read through it, was just really, my eyes were open. So I would just second that about Prelude to Glory.
Wow, I'm going to look that one up. Any final thoughts? This has been a great conversation. I'm all excited to start reading again for the new year and get my kids back into some of these wonderful series that I've forgotten about.
My only thought is that if you want to change your kids' lives, this is the one thing to do. 20 minutes a day, read to your family, read with your family. Be an example of a reader. Just have a testimony of it.
And also start where you can. If that's just Sunday nights, start there. Just do something, right? And it will grow and build.
Yeah, thank you for all these ideas, you guys. Because our oldest boys are, well, our oldest one is 9. And I've been trying to think of some good things for him to read. So thanks. I'm gonna take a lot of these ideas.
Any parting words, Katie?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I do think there's a lot of value in, I think reading is the way we've taught our littles, like 3-year-olds, to sit, which I'm really excited about because mine is about to go into Sunbeams where she's going to have to sit. And I feel like the only way she knows how to sit is because we sit down and read to her. So I'm confident that she can do it.
That's enough. That's a miracle in and of itself, right? Teaching kids to sit. I think you're right, Katie. You hit the nail on the head. I'll put those on our Facebook page, and also Mamie's great Goldilocks principle. And I know we're going to keep having ideas. I mean, just sitting here, I'm thinking, well, we didn't talk about the boxcar children, and we didn't talk about some of these other amazing series and books we've read over the years. So I think anyone can get on, including our listeners, and list some of your favorite books for children and family reading at all ages and stages. Let's get ourselves reading. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for Sister Share, and we hope you feel like you've been part of our conversation. We love chatting and sharing ideas around the world and across the globe in our weekly phone calls to each other. Glad you could be part of it, and please remember to join us again next week on Sister Share, and make sure you read with your family and check out our Facebook page, like our podcast, follow us, and listen to more series coming up.
Thanks for tuning into Sister Share. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you again next week.